Milk, minute, milk, minute, milk, minute, yeah.
This is Maureen Farrell
and Heather O'Neill,
and this is the Milk Minute.
We're midwives and lactation professionals,
bringing you the most up-to-date evidence for all things lactation,
so you can feel more confident about feeding your baby,
body positivity,
relationships,
and mental health.
Plus, we laugh a little or a lot along the way.
So join us for another episode.
Don't you hate it when you go to pull up your sleeve and you slip and punch yourself in the tit?
I do do that.
That is the worst way to start your morning. You know?
But a good way to start this episode.
Yeah. I was thinking about that the other day because I did it. And then I was like, God, I'm so glad there's no more milk in my boobs. Because you do that, there's milk in there, you're just like, oh.
Do the tit punch full of milk. Mm-mm.
Can you imagine if men were accidentally like bag tagging themselves each morning? They'd never go to work.
No.
They would just go back
Sick
to bed.
Days.
They'd be like, I'm a fragile male and I have to crawl back under the sheets. Hath accidentally bag tagged thyself.
Oh my goodness.
And then also I was going to say, have you seen the new Eliza Schlesinger Netflix comedy special?
No.
Oh my gosh. She is hilarious. She does like 15 minutes on bras and like her relationship with her old ugly bra.
Sure.
It's, oh my God.
I'll have to go watch it.
Yeah. Just like she's like, the ugly bra only comes in one color, which is basically a gray beige.
Yeah.
And she's like, she gets mad at like, any more than 3 clasps on the back is no longer a bra. It is an ADT security system. And how I think the funniest one was where she's like out at a restaurant. She's like, you know, when you're eating a delicious meal and you're like, God, I look so cute tonight. And you accidentally eat one bite too much, mm-hmm. and then your bra doesn't fit anymore. She's like, I call it the thickening. No, she's like, once the thickening happens, you better just go home.
Yeah, I was like, it's so true.
Take the bra off and eat more food.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God. Anyway, everybody go watch her. She was so funny and it will make your day.
Good. I'll have to watch that when I get home. Well, I have some new additions to my farm that I thought I'd tell everybody about.
Oh.
I know you guys like occasionally get updates about like critters and, you know, wild animals in my bathroom and whatever. So a good friend of mine had to downsize her farm. She had to get rid of some things and she got rid of a bunch of animals. Then she had like a couple like sentimental animals left.
What is a sentimental animal?
You know, just like things she cared about and she didn't want somebody to just like go home and butcher when they bought from her.
Oh my God.
You know?
Yeah, I would be so upset if I was not on the sentimental animal list.
So we have now adopted a turkey named Juanita, a rooster named Petunia, his hen named Silky. They're silky chickens, so they have these like very soft, like suave feathers.
Are they the ones with the tiny brown eggs?
That
are round?
I don't know. I've never had them before, so I guess we'll find out.
Keep me posted.
And then 2 geese who are very attached to each other, and they're very friendly because I have had geese before and they were not friendly. These, we call them the honkies, and they just walk around the yard going, like chattering to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, now we have yard geese. Let's see. I think that's all she brought. And then, coincidentally but unrelated, we have a new dog hanging around. So we have, like, most of our open parts of our farm fenced in. And, you know, we fence with the intention of, like, livestock and large dogs.
Mm-hmm.
This is, like, a Chihuahua mix. So he's just helping himself to any area on the farm that he wants. And he is in love with my Great Pyrenees, who is 90 pounds. And he is about probably 12 pounds, you know.
That's so cute.
Soaking wet. And he was like visiting for like an hour at a time last week. And now he's like staying overnight. Mm-hmm. They're snuggling in bed. It's very cute.
Does he have a name?
I call him Tiny Dog because I am not creative about that, apparently.
Tiny Dog.
I'm also afraid that, like, we're going to find his owner and then I'll have to give him back and I'll be really sad.
Wait, that's from the movie. That's from one of those recent pet movies.
Oh, yeah. You know? TD, tiny dog.
TD. It's the voice of Kevin Hart, right?
Yeah. It's what the insane rabbit calls.
Oh, yeah.
The dog. Anyway. Yeah. But he's really sweet and doesn't look well taken care of, but also isn't starving. So, like, I can't. Mm. Might have a home, maybe, or might be, like, fed by someone. And I haven't found yet. And I don't know.
So how did she transport them? Were they, she just, like, strapped them in the back of a minivan?
She put them in cardboard boxes in her trunk.
Why so many fowl?
Because they're, I don't know, they're cheap and easy.
And she's moving on with her life?
Well, just for now. They were just got kind of overwhelmed with the farm and need to reprioritize some stuff. And
gotcha.
I was like, whatever, I already have, like, 50 birds anyway, so you just drop
them
off.
You have 50 birds? What's happening down there in Elkins?
Well, there. We have like 25 chickens or something, some of which will be eaten. And we have about 15 ducks, but many of which will be eaten as well this fall.
Whoa. You're yeah. so cool. I mean, not to one-up you, but I washed my washing machine yesterday.
Oh, I wish I had time for that.
Yeah, I made time. It was one of those like psychotic mom moments where you yeah. have way too much other stuff to do.
Is it a front loader?
It's a top loader.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a top loader with an agitator.
So you got, like, inside your washing machine,
oh, yeah.
feet in the air?
But close, yeah. I didn't want to throw off the balance too much, but I ran one of those refreshers through it, and then I cleaned it literally inside and outside with a wipe, and then I ran a second time bleach through the bleach hole, and then it was only then that I realized there's a hole in the agitator that says fill line. And I was like, wait, is this where the soap has been supposed to be all along? Because I've been
poor. I think so.
I put it in the bin, like in the tub.
I mean, I think that's okay, too.
I mean, it's been working so far. But really, the only thing in the agitator hole was some gems from Heidi, some bobby pins, some seriously disgusting linty yeah. pieces. So I got all those out with tweezers. Mm-hmm. It was a whole situation, but it smells a lot better now.
Does your washer have that weird filter, like, on the bottom that you, like, pull out and there's, like, a little weird, like, round screw thing and you empty the water and then...
Probably, yeah. and I forgot about that. So now,
good
thanks.
Luck next year. It's gonna
I'm
be
gonna
fine.
Have to uncheck it off the list and then go home and figure it out
no,
again.
I'm
thanks
so
a lot.
Sorry.
But yeah, I did that, and then I talked about it so much that my husband kept saying, like, thank you for all that you do. And I knew that I was being psychotic at that point because he's like, thank you for everything that you do for our family.
Looking you dead in the eye, I appreciate you.
I'm like, yeah,
do you?
Well, go down there and stick your head in it. Stick your head in it and smell it. He's like, okay, Heather, I'm going to do that later.
I have days like that when I do something like scrub the stovetop or something. I'm like, have you seen it? Have you seen how, it should be shiny like that every day.
Every freaking day. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. But today.
Where are we at? What are we doing?
I'll tell you. Here's what I'll tell you. We're going to talk about one of the most stressful things to new parents, which is how to introduce a bottle of breast milk. Let's start out by saying there is no right way to do this. Or better yet, there are 10 right ways to do it. However, we're going to give some basic concepts to follow and lots of troubleshooting ideas for when these things get super tough. And we also wanted to give a shout out to our good friend Lisa Myers, founder and creator of Series Chill, who officially has her patent for the Series Chiller.
Yay!
Yes. She also has 5 more patents pending. Ooh. And it is incredibly difficult to get a patent, you guys.
Yeah.
It's very expensive and time-consuming and completely worth it because it protects your intellectual property and protects the product that you're making to make sure it's the best quality for all of you. Mm-hmm. And we are going to link our episode with Lisa in the show notes in case you don't know who or what we're talking about. And Lisa, we are so happy for you and so proud of your contributions to the world of lactation. You have truly made a difference to all of our lactating parents, especially the ones that go to work and have to deal with all the disgusting employee refrigerators and like lack of time pumping and milk storage drama. And you are the best. Thank you.
You've made a difference in my life. I still use the chillers, even though I'm not pumping anymore. Now they're just my water bottles.
Wine bottles.
Yeah, whatever they need to be used for that day. I thought about putting coffee in one this morning, and I was like, I don't need 20 ounces of coffee. Don't do this to yourself.
I will not be able to sit in a room for 8 hours and record.
Oh, goodness. Anyway, so thank you, Lisa. And quick reminder up top, everybody, that we both offer private consultation, virtual and in-person. Links are always in the show notes. So don't struggle at home when we could be helping you, and we would absolutely love to help you.
And we're going to read an Apple review at the end of the pod. So if you haven't written us an Apple review and we've made a difference in your life, we'd appreciate it. It makes our project really sustainable, and we love you guys so much, and we read them all, and we love it. Thank you. Okay.
Okay. Oh, I want to thank some patrons.
Yes. Let's do it.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So thank you so much to Elisa from Sunnyvale, California, and Christina P. from Preston County, West Virginia. Yay. That's right around the corner.
She probably has geese and chickens.
She might.
Maybe. People out there have those things.
I wonder if she lives on the cheat.
I don't know. We could find out because she's a patron and we can message her anytime we want.
Okay. Anyway, thank you so much, guys. And we just deeply appreciate all of our patrons for contributing to the podcast. It costs money to make these things, and they make it possible. So if you guys want to join our Patreon community, you know where to find it. Links are all in the show notes.
Let's take a minute to thank one of our sponsors, and when we come back, we'll answer a question about volume of milk in a bottle for a 2-week-old. You guys, breastfeeding for busy moms, my little breastfeeding clinic isn't so little anymore.
I'm so excited that not only can people book with you in person here or virtually, but they can book with the other IBCLCs in your clinic.
We also do accept some insurance directly. A lot of insurance will actually pre-approve you for a certain amount of visits, even prenatally. So please head on over to breastfeedingforbusymoms.com and check out the services tab to see if your insurance is approved. Book with me or one of my IBCLCs, and we would love to work with you.
You can do prenatal consults. What else can they do, Heather?
Well, I often work with people who have supply issues. We've got pumping troubleshooting. We've got preparing to go back to work, weaning, starting solids. We really cover the entire journey. So if you're struggling, stop struggling and just schedule with me or somebody on my team at breastfeedingforbusymoms.com. .com. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Today's question is from Alyssa Sizemore from our Facebook group. And Alyssa says, how many ounces of milk does a breastfed 2-week-old eat during a feed? Her dad wants to feed her, so I have to introduce a bottle here soon. But I'm not sure how much she should get in a bottle for a feeding, especially because she's sort of cluster feeding right now.
That is really tough, especially if it's like your first time and you're like, I don't know, they eat a boopful. What is a boopful to a bottle?
Well, let me tell you. Part of the problem with introducing a bottle early on is because you will end up wasting milk. Because technically, we're supposed to bottle feed on demand, just like we breastfeed on demand. I also like to remind people that if you are bottle feeding at this point in the game, you have to also be pumping to replace that feeding.
Right. Unless it's like one day a week or something, you know. But if it's a consistent time, you probably do want to be pumping.
In this particular situation, it sounds like they do want to be more consistent about it, which is fine.
Yeah.
There are risks to early pumping. The biggest risk of all, I would say, is that baby has bottle preference because at that age, they're very neuroplastic and their brains naturally gravitate towards the path of least resistance, which is a bottle because gravity, you tip it and it just flows in the mouth. And they're like, that is the easiest way to receive milk. I shall do that now. And then they don't want to work at the breast anymore. So make sure you're using a size 0 or 1 at most nipple or slow. It should have an S on it. And really try to pace feed. And if you do a whole feeding, I would probably say offer 3.
I would say 2 ounces at the most. I don't know.
But on demand, every baby's a little different. You know, so if you offer 3 and they take 2, then you're done. And then that milk has to be used within 2 hours, or most likely in this scenario would probably be chucked.
Yeah. I mean, what I usually do or tell folks to do in this early situation is, like, if you have thawed milk or like fresh milk in the fridge that you can heat up in like 2 minutes under the tap, offer a smaller amount in the bottle. If they finish it, toss another ounce in, heat it up quick, and offer that.
It's a much longer process than you're thinking. Most people at this point, I'm just going to say, Alyssa, I just want to say this. You think it's going to be easier.
Yeah.
People want to help you. It ends up being much more complicated and time consuming than you think at this point in the breastfeeding journey.
Sometimes. Yeah. And, you know, if you guys do give a bottle and you're like, oh my God, that was so nice. Awesome. I don't know how you are getting milk right now, but I usually recommend you try to replace that milk in the same day that you've used it. You don't have to pump at the same time they're getting the bottle. Maybe you use a Haka and you get enough. You know, it's kind of individual, but like if you're, as long as you're kind of keeping the in and out milk flowing on an equilibrium, it usually works out.
And really use it. Like if you're going to do it, do it. Like let them bottle feed and then go get your hair done.
Sleep.
Or sleep. Or like do something. Yeah. Please don't sit on the couch, you know, just watching somebody feed your baby when you could do it. It is not going to be like easy or that fun for you.
Take a 2-hour shower.
Yeah, 2-hour shower.
Like, whatever makes you feel human again.
Yes, literally go do something for you if you're going to go to this trouble. Okay, thank you very much.
Good luck with that.
Good luck.
On that topic, we are talking about introducing a bottle today in this episode. And here is the thing, folks. There's not like a plethora of research that tells us how or when to introduce a bottle for babies who are exclusively drinking human milk. Now, I went through the trouble to look anyway and was, of course, disappointed. You know, found a few things here and there that was like, well, maybe some data suggests blah, blah, blah. And it just wasn't real definitive. And then I went and looked on a bunch of other people's websites and they were like, this time. So I was like, all right, I'm going to pull from expert opinion mostly here today and experience, and we're going to go with it. So I've split this into two like sections. I'm going to go over basic concepts, stuff that I tell every person who's introducing a bottle anytime. And then we're going to talk about troubleshooting. What if that stuff, the basic stuff, doesn't work? What do we do then? Does that make sense, Heather?
Yes, and I'm going to chime in as I do.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get it. These are not in any particular order. I was like trying to make them like chronologically what you have to think about now.
Let's start with the most controversial one, shall we? Can I pick?
Yes.
How about what is a breastfeeding friendly bottle? Which one should we pick?
Please don't buy 40 bottles.
Yeah. Step number one, take all of the nipple sizes that are above a 1 and put them in a box and put them away. You're not going to need them for a very long time if you need them at all. And it will complicate your kitchen to have them around.
Choose small volume bottles, 4 ounces or less, guys. You don't need 8-ounce bottles.
It's harder to find whatever. A 4. They make 5s.
Whatever they are, around that size. But you don't need the 8, 12. I mean, like, some of those are crazy.
And a lot of the marketing for those is hilarious because it'll show them with, like, juice in them. And I'm like, wait a minute. What child needs 12 ounces of juice?
And also, we're not supposed to put juice in bottles.
Right. If your kid is drinking juice, they can probably have a sippy. Anyway, so pet peeve with marketing and bottles. So get yourself a 5-ounce bottle.
Yeah.
Here's the other reason why. If you send your kid to daycare with an 8-ounce bottle that has 4 ounces in it, the daycare provider looks at it like it's half empty and they say, oh my goodness, why is this mom starving this baby? But if you put 4 ounces in a 5-ounce bottle, it looks like a nice full bottle.
It's a full bottle.
And it's a mental game.
Yeah. Now, the nipple shape is really the controversial thing about the quote breastfeeding friendly bottle. As far as like scant research and expert opinion tells us, the, quote, best nipple shape for a bottle is one that tapers gently from tip to bottle mouth and kind of would look like a triangle with, like, equal sides, you know? Now, that being said, does that bottle shape work for every baby? No. Does it matter particularly? Maybe not as much as people make it out to. The problem with some nipples that are too skinny is that we have too shallow of a latch. And then the problem with some nipples that are those big flat ones with like just the little tip poking out are they also have a shallow latch for baby. So you kind of want the in-between.
You know what I want? I want one that has the least amount of parts possible to wash.
For real.
Here's my dream bottle. Can I talk to you about my dream
bottle? Please, I'd love to hear your dreams.
Okay. My dream bottle is a glass bottle that is 5 ounces in volume that can be thrown in the dishwasher and sanitized. So all I have to wash is the rim and the mm-hmm. nipple. The nipple is no bigger than a size one. The mouth of it, like the squishy yeah. boob part, is a little smaller than a Komotomo, but bigger than a Browns. Than a, bigger than a Dr. Brown's, you know, somewhere in the middle.
And I think the part
like
that
A-vent.
I have a problem with a lot of the time is the like the shape of the tip of the nipple will be great and the shape of the base will be great, but it tapers too quickly mm-hmm. in the middle when it should look more like a triangle and not like an hourglass shape. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I used the Parents' Choice glass bottles and they mm-hmm. were pretty good, but I was still like, ooh. The narrow mouth ones are just a little too narrow, and the mm-hmm. wide mouth ones just aren't quite the right shape. And it was fine. It didn't affect our breastfeeding at all. But I just haven't found the perfect one.
Well, I say that because when I see the ones that are too angular, mm-hmm. and this is not research-based. This is my experience with helping people. It seems like if you have a baby that has a really good suck, those nipples collapse.
Yes.
And so those are the nipples that I've had to go above a size one on. So the only time I go up is if your baby is literally collapsing the nipple and having to work doubly mm-hmm. as hard to get milk out of it. So if your nipple is literally collapsing and every once in a while you have to pull it out to like re-inflate it, then you need to just go up a size or figure out a different bottle.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, that was like unclear advice to begin with. But really what I tell people is pick one. Just pick one and try it.
Pick one. Keep only that one mm-hmm. in your kitchen.
Don't try a new one every feed.
Right. No. You have to introduce it to a kid multiple mm-hmm. times and, you know, before you call it quits. And just keep all the rest of the bottles in a box. I'm telling you, don't even keep them in the room. Keep them in a box in a different place.
Absolutely. Now, you know, most people will buy all these prenatally. They've got it sitting around. Great. When do you start using them? When should we introduce it? There is no right answer. 4 to 6 weeks is the most popular time. My best advice is that you don't wait till the last minute. Hi, Heather.
I need to interject. So I have found in my clinic experience that the babies that are most at risk for refusing a bottle are babies that refuse a pacifier. Mm-hmm. So if I see a kiddo that is refusing a pacifier completely at like 3 weeks, I'm eyeballing that kid and I'm like, maybe we should either switch pacifiers or really, really work on a pacifier or go ahead and attempt a bottle mm-hmm. just like an ounce to see and like start introducing once every 24 hours. Kids that'll suck on any pacifier, no matter
usually
what,
fine.
They're usually fine because they're used to having something plastic in their mouth that they're sucking on, and they're yeah. not even getting rewarded for it.
Yeah.
So if you put a plastic nipple in their mouth and they get milk out of it, well, yippee-skippy, you know? but yeah, the kids that are like not accepting any plastic, anything in their mouth, they might need a little bit more mm-hmm. time to adjust.
And those are the kids that you might need to start with something like spoon feeding, cup feeding, syringe feeding, where they don't have to really work to get the milk, but they're introduced to the concept that milk can come from other places than mom. And it's really important that the caregivers who are caring for your baby who maybe doesn't have the hang of bottles yet understands how to use those tools.
Can I tell you a quick story? Mm-hmm. Just as something to be aware of, okay? Because everyone always blames themselves first and then they blame their baby. Sometimes you need to blame the bottle. So I had a patient who is a nurse practitioner, by the way, who does work with children. And she tells me her baby is taking an hour, hour and a half to finish 3 ounces of milk. And I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. And I'm watching this baby and healthy term, fine baby, and continuously just like really struggling on this nipple. And I was like, are all of those from the same set? And she mm-hmm. said, yeah. And I was like, can we just try literally any other bottle you have? You could see the relief on that baby's face. Hmm. There was a defect in the nipple. Hmm. And so like every single nipple
was it not
in there,
letting air back in?
No,
or something.
It was like the hole was too small, and I don't know, like it just could not transfer any milk. It wasn't pressurizing or something. It was a telehealth, so I can't say for sure. But that baby was just like, oh, thank you, Jesus, and like drank a bottle in a normal 20-minute span and moved on with her life.
Great.
And she was like, oh my God, I thought it was me the whole time. And it's like, if they're all from the same set and you're having problems, blame the manufacturer first.
Yeah, I've seen. One time, you know, the nipples usually have a vent to let air back in. Mm-hmm. I saw on one set somebody had that the vent wasn't cut all the way through.
Ooh.
So, like, you could see it, but there was no air going through it.
Oh.
And so air was having to go back through the tip of the nipple.
Oh, maybe that's what was happening.
And it was taking a long time. Baby was mad.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, so don't blame yourself first.
Yeah. Okay, so... We want you to just start it when you have plenty of time, because sometimes problems like that crop up and you need to troubleshoot. If you are not starting bottles until 4 months or later, I strongly urge you to consider sippy cups, straw cups, open cups, etc. You might just be able to skip bottles entirely, and it is often easier for a baby of that age to learn something new like an open cup. And they usually like it better because it's, like, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then also you don't have to worry about weaning them off a bottle at a year.
Have you seen those Honey Bear sippies?
Mm-hmm.
Or the straw, sippy straw?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are interesting, where they take like actual those honey containers that look like bears.
Yeah.
And they just fashion a straw to it so you can actually squeeze it and it comes up through the straw and trains them to suck on a straw.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like straw training, which I thought is kind of nice.
Yeah, I like those. Okay, so... We're going to get small size nipples. We're planning ahead. We're going to pick a bottle and stick with it for a while. And, you know, I want to encourage you to make sure that you are, like, paying attention to details in this. Prepare your bottles correctly. You know, pay attention to milk storage guidelines. Warming the milk can be an interesting one. Little babies usually like warm milk. If it's too cold, they might just reject it entirely, and it might feel warm to you. It's in your hand, and you're like, this feels warm. It might only be 85 degrees.
Maybe it needs to be 98.6.
Right. I mean, my daughter was pretty adamant that it needed to be like 99, like a little bit hot. And that was fine, but it took some troubleshooting to figure that out. So I definitely encourage you with younger babies, warm that milk, make sure it is the right temperature, and take that extra time before you give them the bottle so that you're not troubleshooting later. And you can always work them toward cold bottles. It gets much easier when they're a couple months old. But for those little, like, first 2 months, just warm it.
And for their tummies, too.
Yeah.
It's just kind of nice for their little guts to get the warm milk.
Mm-hmm. And then when we're trying to get baby to latch onto that bottle nipple, don't forget the basic principles for latching baby onto your boob, right? You want baby's head to be flanged a little bit. You want to gently place the nipple at baby's lips, you know, kind of getting them interested, not just shoving the whole thing in their mouth.
Yeah, and the reason for that is the same reason why, like, cats, like the big cats that are in the zoos, they still make them hunt for their food.
Yeah.
Because they need to, like, still keep those skills. And you still want your baby to be, like, hunting for the nipple in the wild, even though it's a bottle. So, like, letting them root around for it, wait till their mouth is open, and then putting the nipple in. Mm-hmm. Please do not jam it in like you need a shoehorn to get it in, because that's how we end up with, like, oral aversions.
Yes. And if, you know, sometimes I've seen this, you get the bottle in and they just kind of do nothing. They don't know what to do. If that's the case, if you angle the bottle so the tip of the nipple hits the roof of their mouth, that generally triggers their suck reflex, and then they'll kind of get it.
And also, what does your face look like when all of this is happening? Because your baby is always watching you as a gauge for how they should be reacting to what's happening to them. I mean, everything is happening to them at this point in their life.
So we're going to unknit our brows
and
unclench our jaw and have a gentle smile, and we're going to be like, what a good job you've done, my sweet baby, even if they have knocked the bottle to the floor.
Yes.
Because you want this whole scenario to just be happy. You know, you want them to see the bottle and be like, oh, yay, mommy's going to smile and laugh. and I'm going to get milk, and that'll be so great. Mm-hmm. And usually this is all you need. You don't need, you know, usually this works. It typically works to give a baby a bottle.
It does. And may I recommend also the time of day. Do not do this during the witching hour.
Yeah.
Okay? We need to be introducing a bottle when it's a good time to learn new skills for their little brain. So when they first wake up from their morning nap, yeah, is a
quiet
great
alert
time. Yes. So like that beautiful 9:30 to 11:30 time of day where you're like, oh my God, my baby is the sweetest, smartest little cherub there ever was. Not 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. for the first time. Right. I mean, we're talking first time. Everyone should be pretty rested and happy.
Just the introduction.
Yes.
And, you know, I think a lot of people hear about bottle rejection over and over and over, and they get worried. So they're almost afraid to start. And I can't tell you how many consults I've done where I explain all of this. And then I'm like, have you tried? And they're like, oh, no, not yet. And I'm like, okay, try this. You know, and there's always follow-ups of like, what if they don't take it from me? What if they don't like the bottle? I'm like, doesn't matter. Save the what ifs for when it happens.
Start simple.
Call me tomorrow if it didn't work. Just go home, make the bottle, be calm, be happy, and say, hey, baby, here's a new toy that has milk in it. Let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. And usually they, you know, it might take them a couple tries of like weird licking and chomping and whatever. But honestly, if they are pretty good at breastfeeding, they usually get the bottle. And then congratulations, you know, you've done it. You just want to practice a little bit to make sure they're good at it before you actually, like, have to leave them for 12 hours.
Yeah, and I would start with just a small amount, you know, no more than an ounce in the bottle the first time. You know, this is a new skill, so, like, it would actually be a lot of pressure for a baby to be like, all right, you've never done this before. 3 ounces in 20 minutes, go. And you better not drool any of it out the sides because I worked hard on it.
And you can breastfeed right after. You can be like, here's a snack. Oh, there's a meal again. Whatever. They don't care.
Yeah, they don't care that much. I mean, most of them don't care. I try to kind of separate it, though, a little bit. Like, if you can have somebody else do it, that is good. Well, but if you can't, it's whatever.
I'm going to get into that a little bit later. After we take a quick break, we're going to talk about kind of more complicated scenarios with what happens if you tried these basic concepts and it didn't work.
And your baby's being a butthole.
If they are being obstinate about bottle feeding.
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back. Looking for a really cool gift to impress your parents, grandparents, or loved ones? I recommend looking into mylifeinabook.com. They offer a fun way to get to know your loved ones better, collect timeless memories for future generations, and bring the whole family together.
It's simple. You select from a series of fun and exciting questions that you wouldn't think to ask, such as, what's the funniest memory you have of your siblings? Or, do you have a secret you never told your own parents? And then it gets emailed to them and they write an answer and can even attach a meaningful photo. This happens every week. And at the end of 1 year, they get compiled and printed in a beautiful keepsake book, and you can get copies for all your family members if you want.
And to make sure that you preserve it digitally in case anything happens to the physical copies, you also get it in audio format. With mylifeinabook.com, you can show your loved ones that they are meaningful to the family and help build their legacy.
I've tried it with my mother, and she totally loved it. To save $10 off your first purchase, use discount code MILKMINUTE. That's MILKMINUTE to get $10 off on mylifeinabook.com.
Heather, have I told you about my new favorite place to get nursing bras?
Ooh, tell me.
It's called the Dairy Fairy. The Dairy Fairy offers bras and tanks that try to solve the challenges that come with nursing and pumping. Their ingenious intimates are beautiful, supportive, and can be worn all day long.
Oh, you're allowed to look good and feel good about yourself while wearing a nursing bra?
Absolutely, and they offer sizes up to a 52G.
Oh,
amazing.
I'm so glad a company has finally realized that a D cup is not a large.
Absolutely. And it's so affirming to feel included in sizing and not feel like I'm asking for too much, that clothing fits my body.
Well, what else do we get?
Well, if you guys follow the link in our show notes, you can use the code MILKMINUTE at checkout for free shipping on all domestic orders.
Oh, thank you so much, Dairy Fairy.
Absolutely. Once again, that's the link in our show notes, and use the code MILKMINUTE for free shipping on all domestic orders. And we're back. Hey, guys.
Hello. Okay, troubleshooting. Your baby's being a butthole, not taking the bottle, and...
And your butthole still hurts from birth. I get it.
And something is happening here. Like, the clock is ticking. We have to go back to work. Stress is running high in the house. Possibly we have a partner that just really, really wants to be involved and can't think of one other way that they could possibly help you out. We do have an episode on that, by the way.
You sound bitter about that at all, Heather.
Partner support is important. We're going to link that in the show notes. We'll give them other options to bond with your child.
Absolutely. But you've tried offering baby a bottle in the simplest way and it didn't work. What now? My first piece of advice is just hand off the bottle and the baby to somebody else. Sometimes you need to try this when you're not even home. You're not even an option. You know, just like your children behave differently for other people when you leave them with babysitters, this happens with babies too sometimes. They can't smell you, they can't see you, they can't hear you, and they're like, fine, I will take replacement milk from whoever this is. And you might never be able to be the one who gives a bottle, but if the reason you're doing it is because you have to be away from baby, that's okay.
I personally think that you could breastfeed first, and you might disagree with this, but breastfeeding first and then waiting like 30 minutes or so and then offering it, that way it's not really about food, it's about skill building.
I do not disagree with that.
Okay.
I think that you should try first when baby is like not stressed out about anything. But if that doesn't work, try it when baby has just eaten. Try it when they're a little bit hungry. Like, give it a go. Be calm. But give it a go in those different situations to see what's going to motivate baby, right? Ideally, we're going to do it when they're not super hungry, but they're alert and they're skill building. But maybe for your baby, it takes them being hungry to give a hard suck on the bottle or to be motivated by the taste of milk on the nipple, you know?
Yeah, every kid is just a little bit different, but also for me, this recommendation that I usually start with of breastfeeding first is because your brain as a parent is more calm if you don't think your baby's survival is, you know, hanging in the balance of whether or not this bottle goes well or not. So if your baby's already fed and you're coming at it from a much lower pressure scenario, you're going to be calm and your baby's going to feel that energy and you're going to be much more easily happy in the face and your baby's going to be like, oh, okay. You know, of course, if that doesn't go the way you think it's going to go, then you might need to have a hungry baby on board.
Or you might need a bait and switch. I had to do that with Lyra where I would like give her some boob and hold her in the same position and then like nudge the nipple out of her mouth with the bottle. And then she would kind of do a few sucks without realizing it and then be like, wait a second. And then I put the boob back in. She was like, okay, this is fine. And just did that for like longer and longer periods. Over the course of like a week or something, you know, just like a half ounce in the bottle.
And, you know, let me also say that these scenarios, although they do happen, I think are pretty rare. So for the most part, babies take bottles. But when a baby doesn't take a bottle, it is so stressful that everybody shouts it from the rooftops because they need help like tomorrow for going back to work. And then it becomes this thing that's like, oh, should I be nervous about this? Is this a thing? I don't believe it's that common from what I've seen. And I've done like almost 400 visits
and
this year.
Let me say, if your baby doesn't take a bottle the first time, that's not bottle refusal.
Right.
We need to try a couple of times and give them the opportunity to learn because for the most part, if it's past the first couple days of life, we're not relying on reflexes so heavily anymore. And they have to learn how to use new neural pathways for that.
Yeah, it takes some time. And it depends on the age of the baby. I would say the earlier you introduce it, the easier it is, but also the greater the risk that they prefer the bottle. That's why we say kind of like that 4 to 6 week mark is a good time to start practicing one bottle every 24 hours, given by somebody else, preferably. But, you know, there are some babies that are just like tough. You know, they love the booby.
And honestly, like, those are the babies where I'm like, try a spoon feed. Try a syringe. I love syringe feeding because you can basically just shoot a couple drops in. And, you know, when they're getting cranky, you're like, here, this is what's going on. this nothing scary, it's just milk. You know, and you can do that with the nipple, too. You can put a couple drops on the outside first.
That doesn't mean you're syringe feeding 3 ounces. That's just to, like, calm the baby's brain down.
5 milliliters.
Yeah, just to be like, relax. There is food here. Yeah. Everything's fine. Go back to your happy place and learn this skill.
And, you know, if you absolutely had to syringe for a whole feed, it's doable. It's not ideal, but it's doable. It could get you through, like, an unexpected surgery at the hospital or something, you know?
It's annoying, but not more annoying than trying to force feed a sobbing infant.
Exactly. You know, and cup and spoon feeding, these are all great skills to have. And they're good kind of like emergency feeding skills for infants, too. If you do have an, oh, shit, I never introduced a bottle and now we need it today.
Yes. And side note, with the syringes, angle it down towards the well of the cheek. Never angle it up. So it can actually hit the roof of their mouth and hurt them a little bit because it is hard.
Yeah.
And you don't want to create any accidental damage on the roof of their mouth. So the ideal way to syringe feed would be to put it in the well of their cheek angled down and just do a couple drops at a time and then remove the syringe and let them kind of taste it a little bit and make sure they're swallowing. Because sometimes they're sneaky and they'll hold it in their cheeks like chipmunks and you just keep squirting it in there and then all of a sudden they go and they spit it all out.
It's fun.
It's not fun. At all. And if you're going to do it, tuck a burp cloth under their fat roll, under their chin, so it doesn't roll down into their chin fat.
Yeah. Since we were doing the Aviva with Lyra, she got really good at this, and I would like put the tip of it in her mouth, and she would like curl her tongue under it and then just suck it, and the whole syringe would go.
Yep. See, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But if your kid is not there yet,
it took like a week of syringe, of one syringe every day to get her to do it.
Well, because if you put it down in the well of the cheek and they're ready to do what Maureen just said, they will actually use their tongue, scoop the syringe, move it to the center of the mouth, and suck it completely down. And that is advanced and amazing to watch.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Okay, let's see. So we could also put some milk on the outside of a bottle nipple or just like squeeze the nipple a little bit, like milk it a little bit when it's at the tip of their tongue. You can make sure, try a different temperature milk, right? Try fresh milk instead of frozen or thawed or vice versa. You know, use breastfeeding positions. Go to the breastfeeding chair and have somebody try that. Like sit in the normal feeding place where baby is regulated and happy and they're used to looking at the little twinkle stars on the wall, you know.
Take your shirt off.
Yeah, skin to skin. Absolutely. And don't be afraid to call for help, too. This is like one of the number one things lactation professionals deal with is returning to work, adding a bottle in, navigating that whole thing. So we have lots and lots of experience with this.
Yeah. And mostly just like moral support and buying you some time. You know, sometimes we just need time. And I will say I have had some kids refuse for like a week. And so this is where grandma is already watching the kid. Mom's back to work and grandma is so desperate that they're literally driving the baby to the place of work so mom can breastfeed. And I will tell you, if your baby is healthy and medically well and like term and chubby and like 3 to 4 months old.
Yeah, it's always those like 4 month olds.
They're going to make it, but you have to be consistent and you have to like do the syringes. Yeah. And I'm going to be the mean one and say I would not recommend cracking and driving all the way to go see mom.
Unless that's a doable long-term thing.
Right. It's really one of those situations where everyone has to get on the same page and bite the bullet because your baby will do it. But your baby, depending on their personality, like I'm pretty sure Maureen would have been this type of baby, is that they're just like, unless you show me that this is my only option, I'm going to keep digging my tiny baby heels in and try to get what I want, which is a squishy nipple. So you really have to just show them and be patient and kind and just verbally explain things to them because they can understand a lot more than you think. So if you tell them in advance, like grandma's going to be here today and there's not going to be a boob, you're going to get a bottle. It's going to be fine. And mommy's always come back.
And honestly, just like talking in a soothing voice, it like soothes you. It soothes the baby. It has this nice little like oxytocin thing going on, you know.
Yeah, I told this person I'm specifically thinking of right now, I told her to tell her mom to take her shirt off to bottle feed. And she goes, oh, my God, the baby would never recover. She'd be traumatized. But it took a week. And then the baby was finally like, all right, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And they're fine now. But, God, there was tears.
Absolutely. And it's scary. And you do want to, like, pay attention to those situations. You don't want to just say, well, Heather said it was fine, so it's going to be fine. We want you paying attention.
Yeah. And
we just also want you to know it does usually resolve.
Unless you're working a 24-hour shift, mm-hmm. your baby's going to be fine. Because, and they'd be fine anyway with a 24-hour shift. It would just be more annoying, and you'd have to be a lot more diligent about making sure they got volume in. But if you're working an 8-hour shift, and you breastfed before you left, and you're going to breastfeed as soon as you get home, your baby's probably going to cluster feed all night. Yes,
and you're going to be up all night.
Yep, and that baby's going to be like, I am so glad that I did a hunger strike today so I could nurse all night with my favorite mom. But it's not fun for them to do that, you know, so eventually they're going to be like, no, thank you. So yeah. Hang in there. You got this.
Okay. Well, we are excited to hear all of your bottle success and failure stories, if you have any to share. So please send those over to, you know, milkminutepodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to share your story, and we'd love to hear what worked for you if you tried something that we didn't talk about in this episode.
Okay. Let's take another quick break to thank a sponsor, and when we get back, we're going to give an award in the alcove. I tell all my patients who are brand new parents to put a list of soothing techniques on the refrigerator so they can both remember what they've already tried for soothing baby.
I like to put a happy tummy on that list. It's a natural herbal wrap that soothes and relieves pain instantly, and it's so fuzzy.
It's so great. It helps baby sleep at night, resolves colic, gas, or constipation, and it's great because it has a little cute animal on the front for when they're doing tummy time, which provides gentle pressure to help them get their toots out.
And you know what? They're not just for babies. They have them for teens and adults, too.
So if you're struggling with those period pains, get your herbal warm Happy Tummy Wrap today by going to happytummy.com. And if you love us, enter promo code MILKMINUTE10 for 10% off.
That's MILKMINUTE10 for 10% off your Happy Tummy.
Thank you so much for supporting the show. Okay, everybody, we have a really fun award today. This award goes to Sarah Kay, and Sarah posted a very cute picture of her breastfeeding in the rain at a Philadelphia Phillies game under a raincoat.
We did just take like 20 minutes to try and figure out what sports team it was.
Yeah, Maureen says, Heather, I don't know anything about sports ball, and we had to look up the logo.
But it's such a cool picture. We love it.
You know how the Philadelphia people are about their, you know, sports ball.
I don't know.
They're big into it. They're like...
I mean, of course, the dedication to take your baby to a game in the rain.
It's true. It's true. I'm pretty sure the Philadelphia fans have some kind of reputation for being very intense and, like, diehard. So,
really?
Okay. Okay. So Sarah says, what a win, and our baby was there for her first game. By far the most people I have fed her in front of. It was pouring rain at that time, hence she is under my raincoat. Thank you to all the mamas that have posted their public feeding pics that built my confidence to sit unapologetically at a packed sporting event and feed my daughter.
Yay! We're so proud of you.
Yes, we are proud of you and the Phillies.
Yeah, I mean, congrats to Phillies fans. I don't really know what you say when a sports team wins. Let's go, Phillies.
Hoorah.
Let's go, Phillies. Yeah, that's probably it.
That's for sure what it is. Okay, let's see. I don't know that I've ever seen a picture of someone breastfeeding under a raincoat at a public stadium before. Okay, Sarah, we're going to give you the Raincoat Renegade Award for being someone that will breastfeed in all the weather in all the places. And we love that you did that. And keep posting your public photos of breastfeeding or your pictures of you breastfeeding in public is what I meant to say. It's awesome. The more we can normalize it, the better.
Mm-hmm. Do you think maybe they'll, like, if you do that in another game, they'll put you on the big screen? You know, they like.
I hope so.
That would be great. I would clap for you.
Thanks. That'd be so nice. All right, Sarah. Well, we're super proud of you and your team and your baby. It's all great. And thank you so much for listening. Oh, wait. We have an Apple review. Hold on.
We do. Do you want me to? It's on here. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, would you?
Okay. Today's review comes from Tay Collier, and it's titled Just the Best. Absolutely love this podcast. As a breastfeeding mom and labor and delivery nurse, I love everything about this podcast. I just want everyone to listen. I want to share all of this knowledge I'm learning from y'all with all my patients and mom friends.
Thanks, Tay Collier.
Yeah, we hope you do share it all.
That's a French-ass name, Tay Collier.
Maybe we, if she's from the South, maybe we say it Collier.
Collier.
It's hard to say.
I don't know. I'm just thinking about that Mad TV skit where he's like, oh, what's your name? And she's like, Yvonne. And he's like, oh, Yvonne. That's a French-ass name, Yvonne.
I don't know the skit.
My little croissant. Oh, my God.
Well, our little croissant. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And thank you all for putting up with us for another episode where we just say the most ridiculous things.
I swear we know what we're talking about. If you found value in what we produced for you today, you can join us over on Patreon and show us some love with a small monetary donation for as little as 25 cents an episode. And it means the world to us and keeps this project going and make sure lactation education can be freely available to all people.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I think you said my part, too. So, see ya.
See ya later.
It's a myth.